ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू हु हैव कम फ्रॉम डिफरेंट पार्ट्स ऑफ द ग्लोब टू मधुबन. On behalf of all the Madhuban Nivasis and also of course on behalf of myself, is there anyone who is first time? Okay, so many first timers, very good. Welcome. Maybe you may not have seen me, but you must have at least heard me. Who have not seen me before? Raise your hand. Okay, 2-3 hands. Okay, 4. But you must have surely heard me. When Baba speaks, I translate. So now you know me. From tomorrow onwards, there will be an official program for all of you. There will be a welcome program in the morning and then many interesting programs for the next week. But today, I got this opportunity to meet you all and speak on the topic, becoming a great donor. According to Baba's blessing of today, on the path of devotion, we had been surely donors, not that we were not. There are many people in the world who give a lot of donation to organizations, who work in the social field. They are also donors. You have so many different types of clubs, Rotary Club, Lions Club, whatnot. And the people who are members there, they contribute a lot to serve the society. But usually it is money. They're all businessmen, so they help the society through these different clubs. And so in the world there are philanthropists who give a lot of charity for different purposes. But Baba says you are great donors. What does Baba mean by saying great donors? There are donors in the world, and also maybe all of us also did give some charity in some form or the other in any organization. But when Baba speaks about being great donors, what's the difference? Is there any difference or is it the same thing? What do you think? Sister Gail? Difference or same thing? Here also we give contributions, so we become donors. But when Baba says great donors, is there a difference or no? Yes? Yes? What's the difference? Pardon? Through the mind. Okay. 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 Yes. Usually Baba makes a contrast between when we were on the path of devotion and now when we are on the path of knowledge. On the path of devotion, we had always been asking from God. There was no question of really giving anything to God. Even if we did give on the name of God, maybe for building a church or a temple, or maybe hospital, school, a college. So they give charity, but they keep God in the mind that we are giving to God, and God will give us much more. We give one penny, and God gives us 100. So that aim was always there. But from God, we used to always ask, God give me this, God give me that, you know. There's a long list of what we used to ask from God. First of all, it could be maybe things. God, give me a child also, you know, give me a child. God, give me a good house. God, give me a good job. So we used to ask for these physical things from God. And now Baba says, we don't ask for these things anymore. Do we? Does anyone still ask from God? Baba, get me a good job. Baba, get me this. Baba, get me that. Do you, anybody? Who still says that? At least we shouldn't. Because Baba says, desires could be many. But do we really deserve? So desires are unlimited. Because there's no end to greed. Someone can live in very, you know, little amount of money also, but and some even with a lot they think it's less. So there is no end to greed. There is everything for one's need, but not for one's greed. Because needs are not many. But greed has no end. And also a big difference between need and want. Needs are not many, but want, I want this, I want that. We see people, we feel jealous, we compare, and we want better so that we can show off that I've got something better than what you have got, and so on, and so forth. There is no end. And therefore, we sometimes ask God for that because maybe I can't afford. And therefore I say, oh God, I wish I had that, I wish I had that, and so on. And now Baba says, you have to stay content. Be happy with what you are. Happiness does not depend on what you get, but happiness is within you. It's not as a result of what you got or your desire was fulfilled and you were happy. But happiness is your nature. Happiness is within you. That's why it is said, happiness is not at the end of the journey, but happiness is during the journey. Somebody may say, if I get that, then I'll be happy. And for that, a long journey. No. I will not receive happiness by getting that. Happiness is now or never. Because if I got something and I felt I'm happy now, I got it, tomorrow I will want something else. And then I get that and then I say now I'm happy and then another day I want something else. And until I get that, I'm not happy. So in spite of getting so many things, I'm still not happy because greed is unlimited. And therefore Baba says, be happy, be content. You know, there's a saying in Hindi, very interesting saying. Lobhi nar kangal hai. The one who is greedy, he is a pauper, he is a beggar. Because of greed, he is always asking, asking, asking. So a greedy person is like a pauper, a beggar. Nirlobhi sadasukhi, the one who is content is always happy. He doesn't have to beg anyone. And there is also a very interesting saying, it is better to die than to beg. Mangne se marna bhala. It is better to die than to beg. But on the path of devotion, we are always, you know, begging. If we are not begging for objects, then at least we are begging for peace, for love, for happiness. Oh God, give me peace. Oh God, give me love. And Baba says, you don't even have to ask that. Do we have to ask Baba for peace and love? Baba, give me peace and love. No, Baba says, you already have it. It is the very nature of the self. So we can't even ask for peace and love. You are an embodiment of peace and love. You are the child of the ocean of peace and love. You are the resident of the abode of peace. So peace is always with you. And therefore we don't even ask for peace and love and strength and joy. No, it is in the soul. And I am that. I have to just become aware that I am that. Then some, okay, may not ask for peace and love. You know what they ask for? They ask God for forgiveness. Usually they go to the church or temple or wherever, any prayer place, and pray to God, God, forgive me. Forgive me for all my sins, for all my wrongdoings. Forgive me. Now, on the path of devotion, will we ask for forgiveness? Should we ask for forgiveness? Baba, please forgive me, or should we not ask? Those who think we should not ask, they raise their hand. Okay, and the others? Supposing you have done something wrong and you really feel very guilty, shouldn't you ask for forgiveness? Yes or no? Yes? Not very sure. We can ask and? Not? Who's saying? So should we ask or not? Yes or no? Well, you can write in your chart. Okay. So when it comes to asking for objects, Baba says don't ask. Instead, I'll tell you for all the three. Instead, oh Baba, I want this. Baba, I need this. Baba, I need that. I should thank Baba for all that I already have. That is more important than asking anything from God. Why? Because there are so many in the world who don't even have what we have. You know, so many. They are not obliged with what even the 1% of what we have. And therefore, do we have a right to ask for more? No. It means we are not thinking about those who don't have. So instead, be happy with what you have and thank Baba, because we say Baba has given, God has given. Even on the path of devotion, we have been saying, God has given me this. When I came, I brought nothing. God gave me all this. And there's a very beautiful saying, what you have is God's gift to you. And what you make of it will be your gift to God. Or sometimes you can say nature. What you have is nature's gift to you, because they are objects, they are things of nature. What you have is nature's gift to you. But what you make of it will be your gift to nature back. Because these things of this physical world you never brought with you. And you will not take back with you. Even though you lived in a beautiful house, but you'll have to leave it behind, no? When you leave the world. You can't take your house with you, your money with you, your clothes with you, or whatever, your favorite car with you, whatever you liked very much. You can't take anything. Yes, you are given to take good care of. You should thank Baba. Baba, you considered me to be really a worthy one to take care of all these, and I'm only a trustee of them. And therefore, I do thank Baba for making me really feel that I'm worthy to have received it. And the better part of that would be, whatever I have, am I really making good use of it? If I'm not, then I have no right to ask for more. Because I already have a lot, and I'm not even making use of all that. Then how can I ask for more? So, instead I thank Baba for having given me or taught me that I was worthy to have it. And then when it comes to qualities, virtues, attributes, peace, love, happiness, we don't ask. Instead what we say, Baba, thank you, yes. But along with that, we say that it's our right. It's not that we got it on asking, it was our right. Peace, love, happiness is our right. We are the embodiment of that. And therefore it's a right. We don't say, Baba, give me peace. But how do we speak to Baba? We say, Baba, you are the ocean of peace. And I'm your worthy child. The embodiment of peace. So it's like a right for me. Because I'm the child of the ocean of peace. A prince has a right to call himself a prince if he's the son of a king. It's not that he has to ask his father that, please call me a prince. He has a right. He's already a prince if he's born to a king. And therefore, all these virtues are our right. And as a right, we can experience them through that awareness, that consciousness, through that awakening. But then when it comes to forgiveness, what should we say? For objects, we say thanks for what we have. For qualities, virtues, we think it's our right. But what about forgiveness? We don't really ask for forgiveness. Instead, Baba says, tell the truth to Baba. Don't hide anything from Baba. Because if you write to Baba, if you tell the truth to Baba, then Baba says half your punishment will be over. Because you have spoken the truth, you have revealed yourself completely, you are very honest, and therefore Baba is very pleased with you. But then, yes, and Baba is pleased, and therefore you will feel light. Yes, I have told everything to Baba. But then, not that Baba, please forgive me for that, but you will say, Baba, I promise you, I will never repeat it. I will never do it again. On the path of devotion, we do confess. Don't we confess? We do confess. We say, oh God, I have done this mistake, I have done this mistake, please forgive me. But then we don't add that, okay, I promise God now that I won't repeat this mistake. Do we say that also? Do we? Do you? Did you all do on the path of devotion? I won't repeat this mistake. We don't. But on the path of knowledge, Baba says, the meaning of an effort maker. What does an effort maker mean? An effort maker means, if I made a mistake once, I make a promise, I'll never repeat that mistake. That's a real effort maker. It is just like, okay, the mistake was made, I learned a lesson from it. That's all. Oh, why did I make this mistake? I should not have made this. I should not have done this. I'm so stupid. I'm this. I'm that. You know, we talk all the negative things about the self too, because I made that mistake. But Baba says, no, don't even think in that way. Don't feel inferior to. At that time, well, it's finished. It was part of drama. Give a full stop. And you learn a lesson from it that you will never repeat that mistake. Okay, it was a lesson learned. It was an experience. And you don't want to experience that again. And therefore, there's a very interesting saying. A wrong judgment. It was a wrong judgment. You felt that you were right, but it was a wrong judgment. A wrong judgment leads to a bad experience. Definitely, it's a bad experience if it was a wrong judgment. But that bad experience should then lead you to a good judgment later on, not make you repeat that mistake again and have a wrong judgment again and again. But we learnt a lesson. And after learning that lesson, I make a promise, I will never repeat that mistake. So a promise is very essential. But on the path of devotion, we don't make promises like that. Although at the end of the year, we make resolutions, New Year resolutions, I will do this, I will do that, you know. We make a lot of resolutions, but then how far we are able to fulfill them. And why people don't like to make promises? Because they think, supposing I'm not able to fulfill the promise then, you know, some people are afraid to make promises. They'll say, well, I'll try, you know, this word, I'll try, I try, you know, that word is so commonly used. But if you are able to make a promise, then you will be determined to do it. But if you say try, then maybe I can or I cannot, you know, all that. And you're always thinking twice before doing anything. But if you make a promise, it's a determined thought. And as a determined thought, like a vow, you will fulfill that promise. And then you will not repeat that mistake. So there's a big difference between being on the path of devotion and being on the path of knowledge. And you know, something very interesting. Somebody was sharing with me one day that there was a person who was always so jealous of others, so jealous. You know what he was asking from God? Oh God, this man is so bad. He should be punished. He should be punished. So asking for punishment for somebody else. Just imagine. Should we ask that from God? There's a very interesting story that once there was somebody who was jealous of his neighbor. Interesting, it's a very common story. He was jealous of his neighbor, and his neighbor would get something new and he would be jealous because he couldn't afford that much. So he did lots of tapasya, and God was pleased with him. And God said, okay, I'm pleased with you for your tapasya. Now ask for anything. I'm ready to fulfill your wish. So God told him, but one condition, that whatever you ask for, your neighbor will get two of that. You know? Whatever you ask for, your neighbor will get two of that. But he didn't realize the other part of the sentence, the two of that. But he just heard the first part. Yes, your wish will be fulfilled. So he said, whatever he said, I want this, and then he got it, but his neighbor got two. And whatever he asked for, his neighbor got two. And he said, this is strange. I did the tapasya instead of I getting it alone. This one gets more. And he didn't do anything. And then he got very angry. He said, God, take away one of my eye. Got it? Take away one of my eye. Because he thought, now if God takes away one of my eyes, then my neighbor's both eyes will go. Because he's getting two of everything. No? Or whatever, I'm getting one. So that is where what jealousy was. So because of jealousy, people ask for punishment from God for others. You know, yeah, jealousy can take you anywhere. So Baba says, don't ask such things from God. Don't ask for such things. Because very often it is seen that I'm so jealous inside and that person is not harmed at all. Because each one reaps according to his own karma. I will reap according to my own karma. Why do I have to ask for somebody else's punishment? I don't have to. He will get what he does. You know, that's why it is said, what somebody else does is his karma. But what am I supposed to do? That will be my karma. And therefore that understanding, that far-sightedness is very, very important, which we are able to get on the path of Jnana. And this is why Baba said, good wishes for all. Good wishes for all. Pure feelings for all. And when I have the good wishes and pure feelings for everyone, not that they are not for me, they are for me also. I will get what I give. Again, karma philosophy. Whatever I give, I get back. And on the basis of that understanding, we become great donors. Because if I want peace, I don't have to ask for peace from God. But I have to share peace with all through my thoughts, words and actions. I have to share happiness with all if I want happiness. That's why it is said happiness shared is happiness doubled. Sorrow shared is sorrow halved. Naturally. Because something is in your heart, is really worrying you. And if you're able to share that with somebody and he's a confident person and you feel that he'll be able to help you in that, surely you can share. And therefore, sorrow shared is sorrow halved. And happiness shared is happiness doubled, because he becomes happy too and your happiness will grow by making him happy. So whatever you give, you get back. So according to the karma philosophy, Baba says, even physical things, people give in charity because they know that if they give in charity, they will get back. There's a very interesting story on this also. There was once a big, very big philanthropist. He used to give away a lot in charity. And he had three sons. All the three were businessmen. You know, well off, big business. He had given business. He was a very big businessman. And then he gave that business to his three sons. And they used to take care of the business. And the business was running very well. And everything was very good. And he was about 80 years old. So somebody asked him, what is your age? He said, my age is only 20 years. So the person was taken aback. How can he be 20 years? He looks nearly 80 years. How can he be 20 years? And then that person asked him another question. How many children do you have? How many sons do you have? He said, I have only one son. Again, that person was taken aback, one. But I'm sure he has a few more. Not that he has one, he has more. But he said only one son. And then he asked him, what is your profit? You know, the gain you have had in your business. And he said, maybe a few hundred thousand, whatever. And that person was really surprised. He said, I'm sure this one is speaking lies, he's hiding. And then he asked that old man, can you tell me what you mean by that? He said, well, the truth is that this physical body may be 80 years old. It is 80 years old. But I am only 20 years old. So how you are 20 years old? He said, For 60 years of my life, I did a lot of corruption, you know, all that in business. I did a lot of falsehood and cheating, whatever. It was another life. But after I became 60, I handed over my business to my sons, and I think that my real life, which I am leading now, is only 20 years. That's my real life. At 60 years, I don't even remember. So it was understood that now this is the new life he has got. It's only 20 years. And then he asked, what about your sons? He said, well, physically I have 3 sons, but in reality I have only 1. How? He said, see, my other 2 sons, they don't keep any contact with me. They don't communicate. They don't even speak to me. I don't even know where they are. I don't know. They never speak to me. They never ever told me how their business is running. And they are on their own. So I don't even think that they are my sons. Why? Because no contact. So it was my karma with them. I was able to give them birth, I looked after them, gave them their business, and now they are on their own and they don't have any contact, so I think my karma with them is finished. So I have only 1 son because my one son lives with me and the business is with that son and my name also in it, but those 2 sons, no. Anyway, so that means even that was understood why he said 1 son. Then what about your profits and all that? He said, well, whatever I have given in charity, that is my real gain. Because whatever I have in my bank accounts or whatever in business, I don't think that is really mine. Why? Because if I leave my body at this time, what will accompany me? What will accompany me? Not my bank accounts, not my business, but only what I have given charity with my own hand. What I have given, that is really my true asset. Because only that will accompany me for my next birth. As Baba says, if you have given charity for a hospital, then in your next birth you will get good health. If you have given charity for a school, a college, or for any educational institution, then you will get good intelligence. I mean, you'll be intelligent. If you have given money for maybe a temple or something, or a church, whatever, then you will be a good devotee, a very honest devotee. So whatever you have given, that is your asset. It's not what you have that is your asset. Because if you die now, nothing is yours. There is an interesting joke on this also. You know, interesting joke. It's a joke. A very big businessman, he died. He had lots of companies and business and factories and all. He died. And of course, there was a large gathering at his funeral. So many people went to the funeral. And whilst they were going to the funeral, they were thinking, well, such a big businessman, but what did he take with him? Nothing. He left behind everything. His shops and factories and wealth and whatever. Everything is left behind. And one day we will also be the same. One day we also will leave everything behind. We will not take anything with us. And we will be also gone one day like him. So when they were going to the cremation ground, they were thinking in this way. But after the cremation was done, now gone, he's gone, no more. His body has been cremated, it has been turned into ashes. And then when they were coming back, the thoughts changed. How? When they were going to the cremation ground, the thoughts were, oh, poor thing, he didn't take anything with us. One day even we will go and not take anything with us. But now that he's gone and he won't come back, even as a ghost he won't come back. Then, but he has left so many things behind. Well, I can possess those things. He has left behind everything. Nothing he took with him, but I'm alive still, no? I'm his grandson, I'm his nephew, I'm his so-and-so, I am... So all these relationships will come. But I have a right, so I will fight for that right. I will fight for the shop, I'll fight for the factory, I'll fight for this. Who knows what he has written in his will, nobody knows. That will be opened only by the lawyer and so on. But then, I will fight for it, because I also have a right. So, the thought changes immediately. Why can't I think in the same way that one day I will also leave everything behind? But Baba says this thought is, should always be in your mind that nothing belongs to me. And Baba calls it unlimited renunciation. We are unlimited renunciates. It's such a beautiful feeling to even think of that. And you can feel so light, so detached, so aloof, because I'm not holding on to anything. That possessiveness is not there, not even to my own body. So once that feeling comes, I can become a great donor. Why not? Because what is with me is my pure feelings, my pure thoughts, my pure wishes. So all that is within me and which I have to share. So Baba says, great donor means donating your pure thoughts, donating knowledge and donating your virtues. That is called great donor, being a great donor. So thoughts, words and actions. So Baba says, donation of yoga through thoughts, through service of the mind, I'm able to serve other souls, the peaceless souls in the world. Baba very often says, we open the TV and we hear some news of some accident there, or an earthquake, or a flood, or whatever, and we just watch the news. But then at that time, does the thought come that I have to give peace to those departed souls? I have to give some comfort to those who lost their loved ones. Because then that getting news is useful. If I'm just getting news and I'm hearing it, that's all. It's not a big thing. But if I get some news of some earthquake somewhere, some flood somewhere, and so many people lost their lives, because nowadays it is becoming so common. At that time, does this thought come that may those souls get the peace? May the ones who are still alive, they get some comfort. Because this world is becoming from bad to worse. We are seeing every day there is so much of stress and terror and fear is increasing day by day. In Europe now, and there was an attack on Belgium and France, what not. Now everywhere all over Europe that fear is increasing. But what do we have to do? Not just get the news and say, oh, this is happening, that I know everything, I have all the information. But in what way am I helping those souls? Through my yoga power. Can I donate the peace that I have experienced from Baba to those souls? That is called being a great donor. So through my thoughts, through the mind, my pure thoughts for those souls. Through words, when I come in contact with souls, really we can see people are so peaceless, so peaceless. There is so much stress in them. They don't know what they should do. They are so confused. Because on one hand there is the ego. On the other hand there is the inferiority complex too. You know, ego and inferiority complex both go together. Because there's competition. But that competition is not healthy competition. It is very unhealthy. And the result is because of ego, the clashes can take place. And then the inferiority complex grows even further, that I don't have that strength. He is much stronger than me. And the result is, it can lead to depression. It can lead to just losing all your mental strength. So there are people in the world of this type. And Baba has given us the knowledge. Baba has made us understand that how we have to remain as detached observers too. We have to, along with being detached observers, be great donors. Not just detached observers and doing nothing. Okay, detached observers means not questioning. Why is this happening? We know it's part of the drama. We don't even get surprised. We know it's nothing new. So no questions, no surprises, and also no sorrow really internally. We don't feel that sorrow, oh poor thing, no. We feel that, well, the soul may be experiencing sorrow, but let me give him peace. So that empathy, in the form of sympathy, okay, it might be then that form. But then, not that I take that sorrow myself. I have to make sure that the sorrow doesn't touch me. Because how can I really share my peace and happiness if I'm taking the sorrow of that one? And therefore, no sorrow also. And no fear also. You know, people are so afraid sometimes. Fear. What will happen? What will happen? Baba says no fear too. Why? Because we know the future is going to be very bright. The destruction which will happen is very beneficial because that will bring golden age. If this destruction wouldn't happen, then how would golden age come? And in order for golden age to usher in, this destruction is necessary. Like somebody is very, very old, very, very old, and he's like a vegetable, you know, on the bed and not able to do anything. He's only taking service, just useless, you know. And he's very old too. So definitely we would really want that this person should get a new body, you know. That is, it's not that he should suffer more and more and more. But then, not that we will say that he should take a new body, but then we give him that mental rest, that peace, because we know that the soul should rest in peace later on. Especially when we go to hospitals and meet the terminally ill patients, those terminally ill patients, how we, you know, speak to them. They know that they won't be able to live long. But then they have to face that situation. So sometimes there's so much fear in them. There is fear of death. But how we can make them understand that death is really not there. This death is actually a new life. Why are people afraid of death? Why are they afraid of death? There should be no fear of death. Definitely no fear of death, because Baba says you are a soul, you never die. The greatest fear is the fear of death. And with the knowledge of the soul, the fear can go. But still, why people are afraid? First of all, ignorance of the self. That's true. But then there are other reasons also. And Baba has eliminated all these other reasons also for us. And therefore there is no fear of death at all. On the contrary, we are ready. Yes, Baba, whenever you call us, we are ready, no? Aren't you all ready? Ever ready? Those who say we are ever ready, raise your hand. All are ever ready? Oh no, Baba, no, not now, not now. So why is there fear of death? One reason for fear of death is body consciousness, definitely. But the second reason for fear of death is the attachments. Oh, if I die, I'll have to leave everything here. I can't take anything with me. So attachments is one of the greatest causes of fear of death. Attachment to people, attachment to objects, attachment even to your name and fame and you know all that, so many things. Attachments. And Baba has freed us from any type of attachment. Nothing belongs to me. I can let go in a second. Can you let go in a second? If you are made to? Yes, those who think they can, they are brave enough to let go in a second. Raise your hand. Oh, slowly. We have to try in this way. When Baba says, be bodiless, can I be bodiless in a second? Because even this is a very good exercise for me. To be bodiless in a second without having any pull of the body, without having any pull of objects or people or whatever of this world. So as I practice this, Baba says, at the end your last paper will be this, the last test of 1 second to let go in a second and just Baba and none other. So possessiveness, attachments is one of the reasons of, you know, fear of death. The third reason is the fear of the future. What will happen of me in the future? It's like, you know, when somebody is going on a dark road, it's very dark, no light, you know, through a forest, a jungle, where there is no light. There is so much fear. Fear of animals, fear of falling down, you know, fear of everything. Because it's dark. And if there's light, the fear is not that much. So fear of the future is also one of the greatest causes of fear of death. Now, where will this soul go? Because the knowledge is there that it's a soul. So where will it go? What will happen of it? And the fourth, again, very interesting, very important, the fear of the punishments. Because all the sinful actions, what I've done in my life, they come in front of me. They do. There's also another joke on this. I like to tell jokes and stories. There's a joke on this. One person, he was like, you know, on his deathbed, like, the doctor told him that you won't survive for long. But then as he was on his bed, he was remembering all the wrong things he had done in his life. And he was really very, very sad. So he told his wife that I want to meet all those people to whom I have given sorrow. And I want that they come and meet me, so that I can ask for forgiveness from them. You know? So I would like to meet them. So he mentioned a few names and he said, please invite them and tell them to meet me because I want to ask, beg for forgiveness. Please forgive me for having given so much sorrow to you. Forgive me because he's going to die now. So his wife did that and they came and he said, please forgive me, please forgive me for all the sorrow I gave to you in my life. If you forgive me, then I can die peacefully. And everybody said, yes, yes, don't worry, we forgive you, we forgive you. You know, they all felt very sorry for him. And after they said, we forgive you, you know what happened? He got some strength. He said, but if I don't die, did you understand? But if I don't die, I'm not going to leave you. Because that grudge was still in them, in him. I'm not going to leave you if I don't die. That fear of death was actually making him ask for forgiveness. But if he would live, he won't forgive. Because even they had done something wrong to him. Not that only he had done. So I'm not going to forgive you. So they forgave him, but now they are forgiving him, but he is not going to forgive if he is going to live longer. See, this is ignorance. Is it not? So that fear of death. And another very big fear of death is loneliness. There's fear of loneliness. When somebody is going in a dark lane, a dark place, and he's alone, there's more fear. If he's with somebody, maybe the fear isn't that much, no? Because he's with somebody, you can help him. But if he's alone, the fear increases. So at the end, you know, when somebody's dying, they always remind him of God. Remember God now, remember God now. Every religion, they'll read their own scriptures, the Bible, the Quran, the Gita, whatever, so that he's remembering God. Even the Granth, the Sikhs will do that. So that if he remembers God, then maybe he'll stay peaceful and he will leave the body in God's remembrance. But the one who has never remembered God, you know, whose whole lifetime only money and name and fame and this and that and that and that, never even thought of God. At the end, even if the Gita or Quran or Bible is being read in front of him, will he remember God? He will not. Oh, my money there, my this there, my that there, all that he'll remember. And even if he's not remembering objects, he'll remember his loved ones, his near ones, dear ones. You know, Brahma Baba shared in one of the Murlis once, you know, there was a story in the scriptures about Ajamil. Baba mentioned this name in the Murli one day, Ajamil. Ajamil was a very big sinner. He used to commit many sins. He had killed many people and had given a lot of sorrow to many people. And but he was always afraid that if I die, I will get a lot of punishment from God. But he had heard one thing from one guru, he had heard that if at the last moment you remember God, the last moment when you die, you remember God, then God will free you from all the sufferings. So at the end you should remember God. Now, so what he did, a son was born to him and he named him Narayan. Narayan means the name of God. So he named him Narayan. And the story goes that when he was dying, he said, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. So Narayan, Vishnu, he thought that he's remembering me. God thought that this Ajamil, this sinner, is remembering me. Actually, he was remembering his son, whose name was Narayan. But Narayan, God thought that he was remembering him. And Narayan came to help him and he died peacefully as if he remembered God and died peacefully. So God freed him from all the punishments because at the end he remembered Narayan. So Brahma Baba, when he heard this story in Bhakti, and a son was born to him, you know, Baba's Laukik son, his name is Narayan. So Baba named him Narayan after hearing that story of Ajamil. that even if I remember my son Narayan, but God Narayan will be pleased with me and I'll be freed from punishment. So that's a story in the scriptures, and Baba took the good point of that story and named his son Narayan. So that was in bhakti. But now Baba says that even if you say Narayan, Narayan, it's not that God is so stupid, huh, to think that you are remembering him. Or he's so you know, innocent to think in this way. But definitely, at the end, you can't remember God if you don't have a long time practice. And therefore, Baba uses three words. Baba says, achanak, means suddenly. Anything can happen suddenly. And to face that suddenly, we have to be ever ready. Because any time it can happen, just like an examination. Any time the test is going to come, your exam will come. It will, if it's not told to you beforehand, on such and such date and all that, it's not told, and all of a sudden it's announced that you have your exams. So you have to be prepared all the time, is it not? Because any time the exams can come. So for facing suddenly, we have to be ever ready. And for being ever ready, we need a long time practice. Long time practice. We can't be ever ready without long time practice. That means my study has to be continuous. Only then I can be ever ready to face that suddenly. So Baba also says suddenly anything can happen. And our test will not be told beforehand. Usually in the world, if an examination is going to be there, it is much, you know, it is told much in advance that on such and such date, at such and such time, in such and at such and such place, your examination will take place, and then we prepare for that, and we reach that place, and we appear for the examination. But in this world drama, now especially we are seeing how situations are going from bad to worse. Anything can happen any time. And another thing is that there it's beforehand and then you are prepared for that. Because place, time and date, all that is known beforehand. Here, But the difference is there, what is going to come in the examination paper, that's not known. You only after you get the paper, you read the questions, and now you know you have to appear in the exam and you have to answer these questions. But here, in this test of life, the end, it'll be sudden. And the test paper, the question is known. Which is the question? Question is known. But when and how and where, that's not known. The question paper is out. Baba has already released the question paper, hasn't he? What is that question? What is that 1 second question? What is that thing Baba says? Huh? Yes? 1 second question, and you must pass in that 1 second question. Nashto moha smriti labdha, that's the Sanskrit word. Nashto moha means completely detached. And smriti labdha means remembrance of one. Completely detached and remembrance of one. This will be your last question paper. The only question paper and that test of 1 second only. It won't be for long. And in that 1 second, we should be able to become bodiless in a second and remember just one Baba and none other. But when that moment will come, where it will come, how it will come, that we don't know. Through whom it will come, from whom it will come, that we don't know. But the question paper is out. And we have to pass in that question. But that question to be passed in, for that, we need to be ever ready. And for that, we have to have long time practice. Because it will be sudden. And therefore Baba says, do not waste your time, do not waste your energy, do not waste your thoughts, do not waste your words too. Very often Baba says, when you speak to people, you are giving gyan to them. But if they are not understanding, don't waste your time over them. Think that they are not part of the deity clan. Or just give them the good wishes, okay. Yesterday also Baba said, dharma yuddha, the battle of religion. Means they may argue with you on points of knowledge. Don't argue with them. What is more important is they should see a practical life. Where knowledge is concerned, if you try to show that you have more spiritual knowledge than others, maybe you can fail sometimes. But your practical life, the purity in you, the spiritual strength in you, the peace in you, in front of that they will surrender. Because it's not in them. They don't have that strength. They don't have that type of experience of purity as we children have. And once I can be strong in that, I can win anyone. But I don't have to waste my energy in arguing with people or trying to discuss too much with people. Let go. Okay, keep yours with you. But I know, because my connection is with Baba. So once I understand this, I can become a great donor. I can give the good wishes, okay. So good wishes, pure feelings, and serving to the thoughts, Baba, yes, they get a good an intellect to understand, Baba, I give them my good wishes. But yes, speak knowledge only. You know, these lips, they are like the bow. The lips are like the bow. And the words we speak, they are like the arrow. You see the lips? They are in the shape of a bow. And the words are like the arrow. So whatever you speak, Baba sometimes said, it should be from the heart, not from the head. If it is from the head, it will go to the head and maybe fly off from the head. But if it is from the heart, then it will touch the hearts. And if it touches the hearts, then they will surrender to you. But if it is to the head, then they may not surrender to you. Because they are more clever. I remember once a very interesting incident happened. You know, I conduct Raj Yoga camps. So there were some media people. And they are, of course, very intelligent media people. They are big journalists and also working in the media. So I was giving them Baba's knowledge, and then I gave the course to them, and they had some questions. So, but then I had to go somewhere, so I could not be there to answer their questions. So I told one brother, I told that brother, please, can you? They have some questions. Can you please answer these their questions? So he said he was a very intelligent brother, very intelligent. So I thought that he'll be able to answer their questions very well and they'll be satisfied with him. But what happened, I was away for half an hour and he sat with them and they asked questions and he tried to answer, but it turned into such a hot discussion. Such a hot discussion, they began to argue. Like, you know, maybe if I would have reached late, they would have even started fighting. That was the situation at that time. And they exchange maybe even some hot words, and they got angry with each other, and this brother also got angry with them, and they got angry and all that. And as I reached, they all became quiet. And I said, what happened? I was wondering, and I smiled, and they all kept quiet. And one of the media persons, he said, sister, why did you go? Why did you tell this brother to answer our questions? I said, but he's a very intelligent brother, and I thought it would be good if he would answer. You know what they said? They said he has a lot of ego. He has a lot of ego. And if he has ego, we are no less. We are no less. Because if he's using only his head and not the heart, then we are no less. And then after that, the brother was so afraid after that. He said, sorry, brothers. Then he apologized, and then I said, no problem, don't worry. And the brother left. Then I sat, and then whatever he said, I smiled, and I spoke with all that love, with that feeling. And then, you know what they said? Our half an hour was wasted because of his ego. If you would have come right at the beginning, we would not have said like that. Well, I realized, you know. So it's from the head, it touches the heads, and it can fly off. But if it is from the heart, they can surrender. Because it is with good wishes, pure feelings, acceptance. You know, it's so many things, all these qualities are needed. That is why Baba says, that these great sannyasis, the big sannyasis, you kumari should shoot the arrows at them. Not that men should go, because men and men, they will clash. But if it is you kumaris, your mothers, and you speak to them sweetly, very, very lovingly, with that humility, they will surrender to you. So at the end, knowledge will not work, because people think they have more knowledge than us. They are more intelligent than us. But our values, our qualities, our honesty, our good feelings, our purity, that will work on them. And that is what Baba says, you speak with that feeling and they can surrender to you. But don't argue with them. So these words, what I'm speaking, is very, very important. So I'm serving through words. But how to serve? Don't even, hurt their sentiments. If somebody says, somebody has some sentiments or some feelings, some faith in someone, in some god or goddess or whatever, and I hurt his sentiment by saying, oh, he's not God. He'll say, okay, I don't want to listen to you. So we don't even have to hurt anyone's sentiments. But we should, Baba says, use yukti. The right tactics, the right tact. How to give Baba's gyan to others through that service. So serving through the mind, serving through words, serving through our actions. This is called the great donation. In this way we become great donors. So donors, great donors, and then Baba says bestowers of blessings. We have to become bestowers of blessings. Because at the end, there won't be time to give knowledge. There won't be time to serve for a long time. They need just a glance, just one drishti, just one thought, just one word, because the souls are so weak. These weak souls, we can't give them a lot of knowledge. We have to just give them love, just give them pure feeling, just give them the good wishes, and they'll be satisfied. Just one handful is enough for them. They'll be quenched. Because those souls need only that much. And also Baba says, you should give what they really need, not what you want to give them. If they want peace and you talk about love, they'll not like it. If you talk about, like Baba says, somebody is thirsty and you give him all the food, he'll say, no, I don't want, I want just water. And somebody is hungry and you give only water, he'll say, look at this, I'm hungry. So that whatever that person really needs, you have to serve that soul in that way. And little also is enough, he'll be quenched and he'll bless you. But it should be with a lot of blessings from inside for everyone, with your good wishes and pure feelings. And then we become bestowers of blessings. That is, bestower of blessings, but they will also bless us if we are able to help a little bit to anyone. So we have to really be very, very humble for that. Baba sometimes says, I have renounced, even the thought that I have renounced should be renounced. I have given, I'm giving. But that ego that I'm giving, even that has to be renounced. Because nothing is mine. Whatever I have, if I have any talent, if I have any art, if I have any, whatever I have is all given to me by Baba. It's not that I should be proud of it, it's mine, no. It's given to me by Baba. Had I not been in Gyan, I wouldn't have had this talent or whatever. Maybe I would be something else. But because I came to Baba, how Baba inspired me, and today what I am is all because of what Baba has inspired me for. And once I think in this way, I become God's instrument. And as God's instrument, I'm just an instrument. He is doing everything through me. Even these hands, it's Baba giving. These hands are only the instrument. That's why on the path of devotion, in Bhakti, in Granth of the Sikhs, it's very beautifully written. It says, Karan karavan aape aap manush ke nahi hat. That means God is a doer. He does it and He gets it done. Nothing is in the hands of human beings. It's He who does and He who gets done. Human beings are nothing. That's why, just to show the humility of that human being should be so humble. Otherwise, I, it comes. So I'm only an instrument. Yes, Baba is getting it done through me. Everything belongs to Baba. Nothing is mine. So even if somebody thanks you, you say, no, it's Baba. Oh, it's Baba. Thank Baba, because it's He who gave. If you are able to say that, then even if somebody tries to humiliate you or to defame you or insult you, you won't accept that also. But if you accept praise, then you'll have to accept defamation also. But if you don't accept praise, even defamation you don't have to accept. This is the real meaning of karma. Karma in the Gita says, you do your best and leave the fruit to God. You do your best. To do actions is in your hand, but the fruit you should not think of at that time. Because if you think of the fruit, then if you don't get success, then the sorrow comes. Oh, I did so much, I didn't get success. And if you get the success, you become proud. I did it. So neither should the pride come, nor should the sorrow come. I'm only an instrument. And therefore don't accept the praise, so you won't even need to accept the defamation. Because I was only an instrument. Like a messenger. A messenger brings a message from someone, so he is only an instrument. No, it's not if somebody to whom he gives the message, he scolds him. Why did you say this? Why did you say this? I don't know. That's what he said. I've just conveyed the message. So we are like messengers, Baba says. You just become the messengers what God has told you to convey to all. Become soul conscious and remember the Father. This is the message we have to convey to all, of whichever religion he may be, because this message is for everyone. So that's what we have to become. In this way we become great donors and we become bestowers of blessings. Okay? Om Shanti. Any questions? Any questions? No? Okay? Alright, so now we'll meditate. Om Shanti.